Have you ever been in a situation that was so big in your life that you didn't know whether there was going to be a way to get around it? You didn't know whether or not there was going to be any sort of resolution to your problem? Maybe if you're an unbeliever, it was something that made you think about turning toward Jesus as a last-ditch effort. You know, you've tried everything else, and you think, well, maybe if I just go to the Lord and if He exists, maybe He'll smile upon me. Well, maybe you're a believer, and maybe it's been a circumstance or a situation that has been so far out of your hands that you know that the only way that there can be any resolution or resolve to the situation would be for the Lord to show up and to show up in a big way. And even in the midst of that, you were sitting there wondering whether or not He was going to be able to. Your faith may have been lacking. Now, let me go ahead and give you a technical definition for faith as we get started today. The technical definition for faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And that essentially means believing in something even when you can't see it. I want you to consider those things as in just a moment. We're going to look at yet another miracle of the Messiah, of the raising of Jairus' daughter, and we'll answer some of these questions. So grab your Bible, come on back. Our passages are going to be out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. I'll see you in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible Study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. I mentioned a moment ago we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn on over there with us. Now, in our journey through the Gospels, we encounter numerous accounts of Jesus performing miracles that not only demonstrate His divine authority, but also reveal His compassion and love for humanity. And that's been one of the big overriding themes throughout all the miracles that we've been looking at, is the compassion that Jesus has for those that He has encountered. Okay, today we're going to take a look at one such miracle that's found in the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. Now, this story not only underscores His power over life and death, but it also invites us to examine our own faith and our own trust in Him. Look with me, if you would, in our scripture text today. That's Luke chapter 8. We're going to begin reading at verse 40. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, beginning with verse 40. It says, "So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed Him, for they were all waiting for Him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged Him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitude thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all of her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' Well, when all denied, Peter and those with him said, 'Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, "Who touched me?" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived the power going out from me." Now, when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before Jesus. She declared to Him in the presence of all people the reason she had touched Him and how she was healed immediately. And He said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While He was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to Him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, He answered him saying, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well." When He came to the house, He permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now, all wept and mourned for her, but He said, "Do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed Him, knowing that she was dead. But He put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And He commanded that she should be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but He charged them to tell no one what had happened. Will you pray with me? Father, as we come to you today, again, we ask for your Holy Spirit to be present with us. We ask, Father, that your word truly would not return void. We thank you for that promise in your word. We ask, Lord, that you would just help each and every one of us today to glean from your word. May the Spirit speak to us and draw us close to you. And Lord, may our faith be stretched. And Lord, may we be challenged to walk closer to you this very day. And Lord, may we make this change from this day forward as we go forward in our lives, that our faith may be strengthened in your presence. Lord, again, I ask that as your messenger for these few moments, that you would truly use me as your vessel to disseminate your word to your people. And Lord, I'll praise you and praise you and praise you, because I am nothing and no one without you. So Father, bless our time together as only you can. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, you know, we got to think about this text. And in the time of Jesus, Jairus, who's one of the main characters in this particular passage, he held a very prestigious status as a ruler of the synagogue. Now, you would sit back and think, well, he's in the synagogue. He probably would be attuned with what was going on with Jesus. The problem is, you know, he is faced with the impending death of his only beloved daughter. Now, Jairus has to do something that you don't see happen very often, particularly with a man in his particular status position. Jairus has to humble himself and seek the help of Jesus. Remember, these were folks, you know, in Jairus' position that were skeptical about what Jesus was doing, and they kind of looked at him and scratched their heads and said, yeah, I don't really know about this guy. Now, this event takes place within a societal context where religious authorities were largely skeptical of Jesus' whole ministry. And the story of the woman with the issue of blood kind of intersects with Jairus' plea. And this does a couple of things. One of the things it does is it highlights Jesus' power to both heal and also respond to somebody's faith. So what we've got is we've got two miracles that are taking place in this particular passage. Now, we're going to mention the woman with the issue of blood, but we're going to get a little bit more in depth with her situation next week as we look at one of the different gospel accounts of this particular message. But there's some things that we need to understand. Now, the passage presents two astonishing miracles. Number one is the healing of the woman who had been suffering for 12 years with the issue of blood. And the second one is the raising of Jairus' daughter. Now, in both instances, faith is highlighted as the catalyst for a divine intervention. Now, I always like to use that word catalyst. That was one that I actually learned in like biology or chemistry, one of those two, when I was back in high school. And the definition of a catalyst is the agent or whatever that starts essentially a process, okay? It's what begins the whole thing. And notice what I said. I said faith is what's highlighted as the catalyst, the thing that gets it all beginning for the divine intervention of Jesus to take place. Now, in the New King James, it renders the words of Jesus and provides a very, very clear picture of his assurance and his authority. Now, in Luke chapter 8, verse 50, it says, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Now, you can see where the faith comes in that. And by the way, when you think about faith, faith is what we're saved by. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we are called to have faith. Another simple definition of faith is believing in something even when you can't see it. But Jesus in Luke 8:50 says this. He says, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Okay? Now, the raising of Jairus' daughter exemplifies Jesus' authority over death and his responsiveness to the faith of his children. And he's inviting believers to trust in his power, even in life's most desperate situations. Now, when we think about this particular situation and you think about Jairus, he really had to humble himself to go to Jesus. I mean, even those that were his peers, those that were his co-workers, as you might say, would look at this and say, "Hey, man, what's Jairus doing? That's not what we believe. Why is he going out there to call on Jesus?" Now, in this passage, we first observe Jairus, remember, a synagogue leader who humbly request Jesus' help. He knows that there's nothing he can do. His only daughter, word tells us she's about 12 years old, and she is dying. This has been confirmed by the physicians of that time. Jairus has tried everything. Most likely he has gotten the best health care of that time available, and he realizes that the end is near. So maybe, you can maybe even call it a last-ditch effort, he goes to seek and to request the help of Jesus. And in doing so, this is showing an act of faith despite his high status, despite what those who were his peers may look at him and say, despite those in the same position that he has who would look at him and say, you're crazy, what are you going to Jesus for? We're skeptical of his ministry and we're skeptical of what's going on. Now, as Jesus is proceeding to Jairus' house, he is interrupted by the woman with the issue of blood, whose faith also led her, led to her immediate healing upon the touching of the garment. Now, as we look at this passage, and you may have heard many sermons and messages on this, particularly over the years, but what had happened, a lot of people feel like this woman had showed up, once again, much like Jairus, a last-ditch effort. We know that the Word tells us that according to her, she had spent all of her livelihood with doctors and physicians to try to be to bring about healing of her situation, none of which were successful. So she was broke. She has tried everything she can, and maybe, just maybe Jesus was a last-ditch effort. But she goes and she's going to try to see if she can get in the presence of Jesus, but yet she sees the reality around her. The reality is that there is this massive throng of people that are pressing in on Jesus, because everywhere he went, there was this huge crowd of people who followed him. And in her heart and in her mind, she probably thought, I can't even get near Jesus. So as Jesus was passing by, you know, in her mind and her faith, that's the key word, her faith, she thought in her mind, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, then I will be made well. I will be healed. Now, again, we're going to talk about her a little bit more next week. But so as Jesus passes by, she touches the hem of his garment. And essentially, in modern terms, she got busted. Jesus, you know, he knew. Most people didn't know. But Jesus actually says, well, who is it that's touched me? You know, and of course, you know, his disciples are like, what are you talking about, man? There's tons of people around here. How are we supposed to know who touched you? And Jesus said, I felt the power that has, you know, gone out of me. And then in turn, what happens is she has to confess, because she's essentially been caught. Now, you have to remember what's going on. Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house because Jairus' daughter is dying. And this is a critical situation. If you were Jairus, what would you be thinking at this point? Now, all of a sudden, with all these people around, Jesus is being waylaid from his mission of getting to Jairus' house. I mean, if I was Jairus, I'd have probably been going, look, man, we don't have time for this. Come on, Jesus, let's move this on. I need you to get to my house because my daughter is dying. Now, we don't read anything about that, but I'm sure he probably was sitting there going, oh, geez, are there going to be any more distractions along the way? But this also lets you know about the power of Jesus. Remember, we talked about the fact that two of these miracles are intersecting at the same time. And you also have to remember that Jesus knew what time it was. He knew what was going to happen with Jairus' daughter. He knew that by the time he arrived, she would be dead. Okay? So this interaction is where one story is kind of sandwiched in with another. And again, this is going back to a themed emphasis of faith. Remember what faith is: the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, even believing in things that you can't see. So all of a sudden, while this was taking place with this woman with the issue of blood, the news of Jairus' daughter's death arrives. Okay? Could you imagine what that must have been like? Jesus is waylaid. He's dealing with this woman. And all of a sudden, one of the servants from the synagogue shows up and says, Jairus, listen, man, I hate to tell you this, but your daughter's gone. She's dead. Now, this was said in earshot of Jesus, which means that Jairus was there in close proximity to Jesus. Could you imagine what that must have been like to have heard that news if you were Jairus? You know, all of a sudden, Jairus is hit with the reality that he didn't want to hear. He was hit with the reality that drove him to do things he normally wouldn't do. Number one, seeking Jesus when men of his position were skeptical of Jesus. And then he's sitting there thinking, you know what, if this woman hadn't held us up, we might have been able to have gotten there on time. You don't know. There are many things that would have been going through Jairus' mind. The reality of hearing that his daughter has just died would bring on some sort of interaction. We don't hear what that interaction is, other than the fact that when Jesus hears that announcement, Jairus, your daughter is dead, Jesus encourages Jairus to continue to believe. Imagine the step of faith that that would take. You know, death is not something that people generally or in commonplace come back from. And Jesus is saying, no, basically, it's going to be all right, Jairus. You just keep believing, all right? So all of a sudden, they make this journey. They get to Jairus' house amid doubt and ridicule. I can only imagine, actually, what was going through Jairus' mind as he was continuing to go towards home. You know, he's still trying to let it sink in that he's just heard that his daughter's dead. He's got Jesus with him. They're still going to the house. Maybe his faith wavered a little bit as to what Jesus could really do. You know, I bet that even Jairus was curious about what was going to happen when he arrived home. So you get to Jairus' house amid the doubt and amid the ridicule, and Jesus' quiet authority shines as he raises the girl back to life with the simple yet profound words, "Little girl, arise." Now, the crowd's misconception of death, and one reason I say misconception of death is because Jesus said, you know, she's not dead, she's just sleeping. So the crowd's misconception of death as a final word is shattered. And this reveals that Jesus is the one and only great giver of life. Now, his instructions to give the little girl something to eat after he raises her from the dead emphasizes the normalcy. You know, getting back to normal, okay, this was just a bump in the road, yeah, give her something to eat. But not only does it represent normalcy, it also represents the completeness of new life that is granted by his touch, okay? Now, as we ponder this particular passage, it challenges believers to approach Jesus with faith. You know, we hear all the time, and even the scripture tells us that if a person has the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. Now, I don't know. I hope and pray that each and every one of you have had the opportunity to see the size of a mustard seed. I usually like to compare it to about the size of the end of a ballpoint pen. And Jesus, told his followers, he says, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you could say to that mountain, be removed, and the mountain will be removed. Now, I could go into a whole bunch of other sermons from that particular position. But the bottom line is simply this, that when you ask something like that, it needs to be in the will of the Father. It needs to be something that would honor and glorify and magnify Him, not simply just to fulfill our selfish wants and our selfish needs, okay? So this passage is challenging believers to approach Jesus with faith. Remember faith? Believing in something we can't see, substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. If you could insert yourself into Jairus's position, and many of you probably could, you've been in that situation and you wanted more than anything for Jesus to take your loved one by the hand and say, arise. And yet that didn't happen because it wasn't part of Jesus' plan. And see, that's what usually fills our mind. When we hear that bad news that it's late stage cancer, or when we hear the news that it's terminal, or there's a lack of hope, or there's only hours, weeks, or months left, then normally our faith starts to waver. But the bottom line is we have to remember who Jesus is. We have to remember what it is that he can do and the power that he has. I always like to pray, and essentially was taught this by one of my prayer partners many, many years ago. I heard him pray this prayer, and it stuck with me. And his prayer was simply this. It was like, Jesus, I know you can. The question is, will you? In other words, what he's saying is, I know you have the power to change this situation, to make this situation in a way that I would like to see it made. But the question is it in your will? Lord, I know you're able to do it. The question is, will you do it? Okay? And often I think that's how we need to be able to approach the Father. We need to approach Him with faith. There's no problem with the fact that Jesus can do anything. There's no problem with the fact that He can even raise the dead. I've seen Him heal cancer. I've seen Him do some incredible things along. I've seen that with my own two eyes. I stand before you as a witness today. I know He can. The question is, will He? Is it part of His will? You know, so the passage challenges believers to approach Jesus with faith regardless of social standing or regardless of the gravity of the situation. Okay? Remember, Jairus was a leader, and his peers and buddies were not bona fide Jesus-following people. And he decided, you know what? I really don't care about what they think. I'm more concerned about my daughter. And Jesus, if He can bring forth life, if He can give her a healing touch, then I'm going with Jesus. And that's exactly what He did. You know, in times of desperation, we are called to trust in the promises and the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, the story of Jairus and the woman with the issue of blood serve as reminders of the profound impact of faith in our walk with Christ. Now, you think about the impact that has. If Jesus tells us, His followers, that faith the size of a mustard seed could move mountains, then what does that say about our faith? Have we examined our faith? Have we allowed the Holy Spirit to sit back and give us a real, true look at our faith as we follow the Lord? I know that there are times when the foundations of our faith are shaken, when those big, big things come along in life, and sometimes we question and we wonder, is the Lord able to handle this? Is the Lord able to do this? You know, I've always liked to use the statement that it's often that we turn to the Lord when our foundations are shaking, only to realize that it is the Lord who is shaking our foundations. He wants to do something great and something incredible through these things. And folks, when Christ's power shows through more than ever are the times when there are things that are completely out of our hands. You know, it was completely out of Jairus' hands. There was absolutely nothing that he could do to make his daughter well. Yet some of you today have been in that circumstance and been in that situation where you are desperate. And listen, that is one of the worst feelings in the world. When you think about the situation of Jairus, if you've ever had one of your children in a situation where they were hurting or they were in pain or there was something that was going on and there was absolutely nothing that you could do to change it or nothing you could do about it, that is one of the most useless feelings in the world. It is one of the most painful feelings in the world. And this desperation drove Jairus to the one who could make the difference, the one who did make the difference in the life of his daughter, in his life, in the life of his family, as well as in the lives of all of those who saw Jesus take this little girl by the hand. Now, a lot of them didn't get to witness the actual act. You know, remember, he only allowed Peter, James, and John and the parents in the room with him. But the bottom line was when they walked out, there were people who saw this little girl sitting there having a meal and knew that she was dead before. I will promise you, every last one of them had processed by her and saw that she was dead. And that was the reason why they're thinking, well, what good does it do for Jesus to be here? See, there was that doubt. There was that doubt that Jesus could bring her back to life, and yet that's exactly what he did. Folks, in the desperation of your situation, you need to understand and have faith that Jesus can change your circumstance or situation by a simple word. That quick. The question, it's not the question of whether or not he can, it's the question of whether or not he will. You see, this should encourage us to come to Jesus with our burdens and to trust in his perfect timing and in his authority over each and every situation in our lives. Okay? In the raising of Jairus' daughter, Jesus provides a very powerful testimony to his mastery over life and death and the paramount role of faith in accessing his divine power. So if I had to ask you a question today, I would ask you, how strong is your faith? Where is your faith? Even in the midst of those situations that seem so impossible, do you trust God? Do you trust in the power of the Lord to be able to change that situation? Where's your faith? Sometimes we get in situations like that stretch our faith. And when our faith is stretched, that's when it becomes stronger. OK, okay? So where are you? You know, when we look at this, when we reflect on this passage, we are reminded that we can go to the Lord. Thanks be to God. We can go straight to Him in faith and in confidence that His love and authority takes place over every aspect of our lives, even life and death. Your jobs, your family, your situations, your relationships. He has purview over all that, and He can change it just like that. The question is, how is our faith? How many times in the Word of God did He say something about faith? When you look at the woman who had the issue of blood, notice what He said. He didn't say, your journey has made you well. He didn't say that your doctors have made you well. No, He said your faith. In other words, her belief in the fact that Jesus could change her situation is what made her well. Your faith has made you well. So listen, when it comes down to it, in your life, when the circumstances, the huge circumstances that are completely out of your hands take place, are you going to go to the Master with faith like the woman with the issue of blood? With faith like Jairus? No, and listen, forget about what society, forget about what your peers say. Jairus was driven because, you know what, he loved his daughter more than he did his status or his relationship with those people. So society puts pressure, particularly on Christians these days. Yeah, Jairus was like, you know what, I really don't care what you think about me. If Jesus can be the change agent to heal my daughter, I'm going with Jesus. May today be the day that you say, you know what, I really don't care about what you all say or think in the negative. I'm going with Jesus, and I'm going to do so with faith that He can change these circumstances and change these situations. Listen, would you pray with me as we close our time out today? Let's pray. Father, as we come to You today, Lord, we thank You for Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for the lessons that we can glean from Your miracles. Father, I pray that You will help us to trust in You with unwavering faith, knowing that You are the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, You are the author of our life. Father, we pray that You will strengthen our belief in Your power over every circumstance and every situation, and that, Lord, You will guide us to live in obedience to Your will. Lord, I pray that we may seek You in times of need, and Lord, that we might remain faithful just as Jairus, Lord, just as we've read in Your Word today, and just as we read about the woman of faith. Lord, I pray right now that these will be earmarks of who we are as we continue to go through this life. And Lord, we do ask this prayer in Jesus' precious name, and for His sake we pray. Amen. Hey folks, listen, thank you again for taking the time to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church located in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you don't have a church home or you happen to be in our area, we would love for you to drop by and visit with us for a Sunday service. Our Sunday services start at 10:45 a.m. every Sunday morning. And we do have other discipleship opportunities. We have Sunday school classes. We have discipleship groups. We have men's groups. We've got women's groups. As we go forward in the future, we're praying that we'll have couples groups. We also have children's discipleship through the Awana program, and we would certainly love to have you come and be a part of our family as the Lord leads you. As you do, if you show up, please introduce yourself and say, hey, look, I've been watching you on the Wednesday Bible study, and I just wanted to see you in person. But please join us as we worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. And I hope and pray that I'll get a chance to see you Sunday. May God bless you and strengthen you through His Word. Have a great week. Hey folks, there's one thing that I do want to remind you of, what our Bible reading for this week will be. Our Bible reading for this week is actually going to be out of Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. That's Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Next week, we're going to look at our 15th sermon on the miracles of the Master, and we're going to be looking at the healing of the woman with the issue of blood. Now, we're going to look at it out of Mark's Gospel, rather than Luke's Gospel that we were in today. So be studied up on that. Once again, that is Mark chapter 5, and we're going to specifically be dealing with verses 25 through 34. So be studied up on that, and I look forward to seeing you next week. God bless. Have a great week.